Be with you. Welcome here to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. We're glad to have you here with us. You'll notice that this morning Pastor Poppy is not here. He and Barb are on a little vacation, and so keep them in your prayers as they enjoy some time away. Couple announcements about our service today. We're going to do things just a little bit differently. We are starting up choir for the year, and the choir is going to help beautify our service. But there's a few notes about what that will look like. You'll notice if you look in the inside of your bulletin, we have the introit, and there are a couple parts that are labeled specifically for the choir to sing. So the choir will sing that in harmony, and then when we get to the part that's not italicized, we'll just jump right on in as the congregation. And you see the notes that are up there above. Also then, the Gloria Patri, that's highlighted and bolded at the bottom. We'll sing that the same way we do in service setting 3, page 186, and so it should be fairly familiar there as well. At the bottom of the propers there, you'll see there's a verse, and the verse is a traditional thing that was done for 1,000 years in the Christian church, and then when Germans came to America, it kind of disappeared just a little bit. We're going to try and sing that this morning as well. The choir will sing it, and the way it works is we'll sing an Alleluia as it's written on page 952, and then the choir will sing the verse, and then we'll sing the Alleluia again after they're done, and Ashley will help us with that on the choir, or on the organ. Finally, then, the choir is going to sing verse 3 of our hymn of the day, Oh, How Great Is Your Compassion. So those few changes should really help beautify our service, and I know it's a little different, and we're Lutherans, but we'll do the best we can in that regard. Otherwise, our rest of our service is listed here, Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Before we begin our service, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, the sinful world tempts us so much to be God withinners, people who listen to our own thoughts, our own desires, and our own wants over you. Grant us repentant hearts that we may actually confess our sins and receive the grace and mercy that you are so eager to give. In your holy name we pray.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is hymn 616, Baptismal Waters Cover Me.
Thank you.
service setting 3, page 184, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I adore this.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit as listed in the bulletin.
Thank you.
be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either deserve or desire, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the first fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together our gradual as found in the bulletin. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse and reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe.
Please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day, 559, Oh, How Great Is Your Compassion. A reminder, the choir will sing verse 3, number 559.
Oh,
the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, in our gospel lesson for this morning, our Lord teaches us a fairly familiar parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it's really great because this is one of the few parables in which we have a little bit of commentary at the beginning. St. Luke tells us why Jesus told this parable. He directed it specifically at those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and who, as a result, treated others with contempt. Thus, we're looking at the parable for those who fail to keep the first commandment, who don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things, but rather they fear, love, and trust in themselves. They've made themselves God. Or as some would say, they are God withinners. And so we turn to the parable to understand what St. Luke means. Our parable speaks of two different men. First, let us notice how they are the same. Both of them are Israelites. That means in the Old Testament times, their family was given a particular promise, the promise of a Savior who would rescue them from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And they have been taught that promise their entire lives at synagogue by their priests, by their local rabbis. Not only are they both Israelites, they're both at church. They're both in the temple, the place where God gives his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. The place where sacrifices are carried out for the specific purpose of forgiving people their sin. They're both at church, which is important for us to understand because it tells us who Jesus is directing this parable at. People who are within the church, not those outside the church. It's for that reason that we specifically ought to listen especially close to what our Lord is teaching us. Two men went up to pray. The first man prayed in an awkward sort of way. He stands up in the middle of the sanctuary. He prays out loud, perhaps even yelling, so that all people can hear him and see him. He's dressed in nice clothes. He looks like a nice sort of gentleman. But listen to the words that he prays. And as you listen, listen to the way that he uses his language. Who's the subject of the verbs that he uses in his prayer? Who is doing the doing when he speaks? Who is his focus upon? Here's his words. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not like extortioners. I'm not like the unjust. I'm not like adulterers. I'm not even like this tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He begins that prayer with a comparison to the people around him. He compares himself to the other people gathered together, and what's he say? I'm better than all of these folks. He says, I'm not an extortioner. Did you notice how he said that? He prayed, I'm not this, I'm not that. He says the word I so often it's almost as if he's talking to himself. I'm not unjust, he says. I don't treat people unfairly. I give them a fair shake. I'm not an adulterer. I don't look at pornography. I don't sleep around or live together outside of marriage like all those other people. Heck, he concludes, I'm way better than a tax collector. I've got to be in the top tier of members of the congregation. He believes he has earned his own salvation by being a nice guy, a good guy, a friendly guy. He's even bold enough in his prayer to thank God that he's such a nice guy. Thank you, God, for making me so good-looking. Thank you, God, for making me so nice. Thank you, God, for making me good enough to save myself. That's what he believes. If you were to ask this man, by whose work are you going to heaven? What do you think he would say? By whose work are you saved? He'd say, well, look at all the stuff that I have done. Look at all the items in the church that I have donated. If you asked him who he trusted in above all other things, he'd answer, the only one you can trust is yourself. Who is this man's God? It is himself. He is a God withinner. Compare him with the second man. Contrast the way the second man speaks with the way the first man spoke. The only thing the second man says about himself is this: I am a sinner. Those words don't build him up at all. Those words say he's not as nice a guy as people think. I am a sinner. Rather than listing off all of the good things that he's done, rather than seeing the ways that he's found not to sin, he confesses the truth. What God says about him. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That surely in sin did his mother conceive him. Not that the act that conceived him was sin, but that the moment he was formed within his mother's womb, he already was a guilty, poor, miserable sinner. He confesses that he sinned in thought, in word, and in deed. Maybe he's done the sins the other man says that he had not done. Maybe he's an extortioner. Maybe he's committed adultery. Maybe he's greedy. He's a tax collector after all. He confesses that he's a sinner, And at the same time, he begs God for mercy, for forgiveness, for compassion, for grace and love. God does not owe that to him. The man is well aware of that. But he asks for it all the same. As he confesses his sin and asks for mercy, the very thing that God is eager to give, he beats his chest in frustration at himself. I am a sinner. The good that I want to do, I do not do. The evil that I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Who will save me, this wretch, from this body of sin? Have mercy, O God, upon me, a sinner. Those words are asking God to act. They're asking God to do something. And Jesus tells us that God does just that. He says, out of those two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's the tax collector that goes home justified. The Pharisee, the nice man, the church member was not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God forgives sinners. Luther said, God comes only for sinners. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. God shows mercy on sinners. That's the truth of our faith. God forgives sins. He does so abundantly. He does so by Jesus, who took your sin upon his own shoulders and went to the cross to kill it forever. He did it before you'd even asked him to do so. He did it without any merit or worthiness in yourself. Jesus died for sin once for all, for the tax collector, for the whole world, for you. Yes, we must talk about you. And me. Who are you? What do you trust? What do you fear? What do you love? Will you be in heaven? Will you be saved? If so, why? Is it because you're not like other people who stay home on Sunday mornings? Is it because you've changed the definition of adultery so that you can keep it? Is it because you're a nice person and you smile at the people you pass on the street? Is it because you wave at your neighbors? And you even overlap when you mow the yard to mow a few inches of theirs? Is it because you wear a mask? Is it because you wear the right kind of mask? Is it because you donate to the church? Is it because you've had a successful career and a large 401k? Is it because you volunteer? Is it because you've never cheated on your spouse? Is it because you listen only to Christian radio? Is it because you dress modestly? Is it because you dress in the latest trend? Is it because you've never robbed a bank? Is it because you have a good education? Is it because you work hard? Is it this? Is it that? Will you be saved? If so, why? Dear friends, none of those things are necessarily bad. It's good to work hard, to be friendly and kind. God doesn't care if you wear the nicest clothes or the newest trends. You're free to do so or not to. But you will not be saved by those things. Listen to the language, the verbs that are used. You do this, you do that. Will you be saved? Because of you? No. Not at all. If it was up to you, you would not be justified. You've sinned somewhere, sometime, somehow. If you are to save yourself, you must be perfect, and you already, from the moment of your conception, have fallen short. If you trust in yourself, you've made yourself into a false idol, a false god. Repent of that way of thinking. It's a lie of the world. Will you be in heaven? Yes. Why? Because of Jesus. You are saved by Jesus. You are saved by grace, by mercy, by what God has done on your behalf. That means you acknowledge the truth, just as we did at the beginning of service. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We don't deserve salvation, but we beg God's mercy. We've done evil in the sight of God. We are, as we confess, poor, miserable sinners. I am, you are, we all are. And so we beg for mercy. Bloody mercy. Cross mercy. Jesus mercy. Don't abandon us to the grave, dear God. Don't leave us to die. And God answers by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh to die the death we deserve. To suffer this world and its sin, to be arrested and accused of what you've done wrong, and to die for it, beaten to a pulp, nailed to a cross. That's the picture of God's mercy to you. That's why you'll be in heaven. St. Paul tries to get this picture across in the epistle lesson. He says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, the crucified one, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You're saved by God's mercy, by God's grace, by God's kindness, by God's love, because of Jesus. You will be in heaven. As for now, you are God's workmanship. And as that, you are free, free to live a life not under compulsion, but under love, to show mercy on the people around you, as God has first shown mercy to you, to do what is right, not because you are forced, but instead because you are saved. To be a Christian, even if the world hates you for it. Because this world and life is temporary. The life that is to come in Jesus is eternal. Who are you? You are a sinner. It is true. Be a sinner. Confess the truth. For it is to sinners that God has sent Jesus. It is sinners who have received God's mercy. You are a sinner, saved by grace through Jesus Christ, and set free to be a Christian. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God's service to us continues as we stand together and sing the offertory on page 192.
Thank you.
service to us continues with the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all of your goodness and mercy and bless you for the love that sustains each one of us day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, and for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your entire church, which you have purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not by our own works, but by grace and mercy. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and sacraments, so that they might be perfect in love and in all good works, establishing in them the faith you have delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceful life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all of those who bear office in our land, especially our president, our congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, our mayor and city council, and to all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will, and help there to be peace in our nation. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Bless our military personnel, our police officers, our firefighters, our ambulance drivers and paramedics, and all others who serve us in this way. Lord, in your mercy, sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in their baptismal grace and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and through all the world. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or adversity, especially those in our own midst, including Dick, Barb, Vern, Robert, Andy, Sherry, David, Craig, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those who mourn, especially the family of Leola Cranky, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our service continues with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is peace and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 921.
Thank you.
Sorry, Wayne. A few announcements to bring to your attention. First off, Pastor Poppy is on vacation, so we thank Pastor Brisboy for helping us with distribution this morning. It's a real help for that, helps the service continue to move along well. I also want to draw your attention to the Good Shepherd news and notes. They should be out there on the table on your way in or out. If you're interested in taking a look at those, there's a few announcements. We are continuing family Bible study in the fellowship hall, and so if you're interested in that, we'll ask you to come back there. We have an overflow room in room 109, I believe, as well. And so it's a great blessing to be able to gather and hear God's word again, even as we do so just a little bit differently than we had before. Along the same lines, beginning in the first part of September, the family Bible study will still be going on, but the Sunday school age kids, if they wish and their parents are okay with it, we will be having singing taking place towards September, just like we used to do Sunday school opening. So the kids would come, learn a song to sing, and then they would meet their families in the family Bible study area. So that's coming up here before too long as well. Along the same lines, confirmation classes are soon to begin as well. There's an information meeting September 2nd at 5:30 in the fellowship hall for parents and students. All people ages third grade to eighth grade should have gotten a letter in the mail. If you have any questions, contact the church office or myself or Pastor Poppy as well. Also, one of the things that we've done in the past few years is we've had meals for college students, which is something that is difficult to do right now. So instead, what we'd like to do is put together welcome bags or full of candy and goodies and water bottles and whatever college students eat. What do college students eat today? Twinkies? Do they still make Twinkies? Okay, I don't know. Goodies for college students. The gathering place for those items is in my office, and so the fellowship committee will put together those goodie bags, welcome bags here as we get closer to distribution date. If you have any questions, you can talk to my wife. We do want to thank the choir for their hard work and beautifying the service this morning. It's just pretty cool, all the things that they were able to do here. If you run into anybody from the choir, tell them thank you for their time and effort. It's always a great blessing for us when people are able to use their gifts to beautify the worship service. And so we thank God for that as well. Other announcements I'm forgetting, Vicar. It's like, I haven't been able to talk before, so I don't know what to do. Pastor Brisboy? The offering, yes. The offering box is at the pillar towards the entranceway. Yeah, we'll dismiss from the back to the front. If you are staying for Bible study, feel free to go that way. If you are staying to visit and talk, we ask that you please do so outside so we keep this area open for people to pass through to get where they're going. So God's blessings on your week. Have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.